And when are you allowed to block him? That according to second group. On the top of the Brahman and all, according to second halakha that supposedly Rav said it is, it was right there clearly contradicts him. But the Gemara says on the top line, Ida, he said, the other din is, the Amar Rav, Rav has said, of course, they say for Taylor, some of the scrapers writing for the Pope. So Ligma is holding by the end, he's ready to complete it. Gomer, Vatila, the end to Hadda. He may finish writing the Sefer Torah even in the middle of the trial, and there's no need to see to it that the Sefer Torah ends, the last few words in the Sefer Torah, the end of Kol Yisrael. There's no need to see to it that the last few words should be on the final line. The end of Kol Yisrael on the bottom line. It can end off in the middle of a column also. And this memory of Rav, this statement that Rav said, is contradicted by a Bryce. And he's not quoted right away, Meisle, the rest of Tasha against Rav, but he's against the Bryce. A person says a Torah, a person who's writing, it's all a Ligma, and he's about to complete the Sefer Torah, lo Yigma b'yem tzadav, tzadav shigema b'chumashim, yad ha-chamisha chum shikari ha-bereish ha-shmos, ha-yikro ba-midbor and dvorim. So the first four bereish ha-shmos, ha-yikro ba-midbor, they're not yet finished with the entire Sefer Torah, you're just finishing that chumash, you're finishing that one-fifth of the Sefer Torah, there you may complete in the middle of the column. So you don't have to end up at the end of the page. But if he's about to complete the entire Sefer Torah, Bolo Ligma, he's about to finish the entire Sefer Torah, in other words, the Yenik of Yisrael, then the Bryce who says against Rav, Lo Yigma be emtzad da, and not let it end in the middle of the column, Kedel Shedena the Chumashim, like one would be allowed to end the first four Chumashim, Bereish Shemesh, or even Avidba, Ella, what does he do? He doesn't have enough to write. He sees he's holding by the end of the Sefer Torah, he doesn't have enough to write to fill in a whole column. The column has so many words, so many letters in every line, and so many lines. He doesn't have so much to write. It says he should make it narrow lines, and make it narrow column, and fewer lines, so that he should see to it that the huge system that he has to write at the end, he should complete the end until he's falling on the bottom line, on the bottom of the column. Hello, Mitzatze the Hola, Atzei Chadak. Rashi gives you a picture. How in Mitzatze the Hola picture? If you make the columns narrow, and they have fewer lines, you're still not going to have enough to write till you get to the bottom. So how are you going to make it? Then he puts it on the bottom, so Rashi has the diagram. You have the lines in that type of a shape. The top line should be wider, the bottom line smaller, 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 till you get to the bottom. To make sure, the Rashi says it's faded, any part of the has to be on the very bottom of the column. But the Gemara says that this man, Rav, is again contradicted by Rav. These are the two Gidim that Rav has said regarding Tzidah, 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 and they're both contradicted by Rav. The Tanya Tzidah, we have Rav again. So here, the Gemara comments regarding this second din of Rav, the Gemara finances the cash. First, the Gemara says that Rav said it contradicted by Rav. If the Rav says you must finish the Sefer Torah in the bottom line, and Rav said you don't have to, then not to the Ben Tzadok, you can finish in the middle of the column, and to the Gemara, there's no contradiction. Kikom HaRab, different Russian. And Rab said that one may complete the Sefer Torah, he may complete the Sefer in the middle of the column, he wasn't referring to the very last topic of the entire commission, the entire Sefer Torah, he was referring to the Reish Shmos, the Yisrael Bar-Midbar. But those, if he wants to, he may complete in the middle of the column. The Gemara, but Rab didn't say that. Rab said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sefer Torah, don't Ligma. He's completing the Sefer Torah, but Sefer Torah comes. How can you find answer Rav? It's not true. And for the Gemara name, what Rav meant to say was, Yechomash Mishof Sefer Torah. He's speaking about the writing, there are two different things, there's a Chumash, and there's a Sefer Torah. In the Yiddish, the way we speak today, in the language that we use today, we refer to a vintage Chumash as a Chumash, and one that's written by hand, and often by the Sefer, we refer to a Sefer Torah. In the Talmud, when they distinguish between a Chumash and a Sefer Torah, they mean like this. The Chumash means an entire Sefer Bereishis is written. That's still the Chumash, entire Sefer Shmos. Separate. You can write an entire Sefer separately. If you have all the Chumash and the Torah together, that's called the Sefer Torah. If you have one of the five separately, that's called the Chumash. And the Gemara has a dinim, and the Gemara is written that you're not permitted to write less than a Sefer Shalom. A Sefer is not allowed to write, just one line or one Sedra. It's a great number, the Mitzvah Sedra, so you have printed a separate Sedra. When it comes to the Talmud, this is not allowed. You're only allowed to have written an entire sefer, either the entire sefer Bereishis, the entire sefer Shmos, and so on. It must be written back to by a sefer and boxing with the proper type of ink and so on. The man of there, the Gemara says that we allow it for study purposes. It's too unwieldy for the little kid. He wants to learn how to learn the esoteric. How's he going to hold a sefer Torah every time? And he's going to practice the tree, and it doesn't have to trust anywhere, it doesn't have to include it anywhere. But for education purposes, the Gemara says that we're making it allow even writing it up in the sefer Shalom. But otherwise, not for that, not for legal purposes, it's not really proper. In fact, the many shuls they have on the Parashas, on the Yom Kodesh, they have speaking written. And the most religious shuls, they have speaking written all over. I've never got this shul, and many shuls are like that. Where you have in the Sukkah, usually they have hanging up, speaking up with the space for on the Yeshiv box, it says, the Kafka, the Samaria Marishan. And the Tzidon Zekel has a prophet there, and the Talos Zekel has a prophet there. The Tzidon Zekel has a prophet there. So it says to Shulchan Aruch that this is not proper. It's not proper to write anything less than an entire Sefer Shem. Really, this is what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara says there's a Chumash, which means an entire Sefer Shem, that's this entire Sefer Bereishis, an entire Sefer Vayikra, etc. And the Sefer Torah means, all the Chumash Chumash Torah together. So they explain that when Rav said, HaKreis, it's Sefer Torah. If Bo Ligmar, the Sefer is writing the Sefer Torah, is about to complete it, doesn't mean complete it, he's about to complete the entire Sefer Torah to write any Kodesh Torah, but he may write that in the middle of the column. No, Rav doesn't argue with the Bryce. He writes and says he must stand on the bottom line. And if you don't hand it to Sefer, comes to the end and he sees that he's stuck and he doesn't have enough to write, so he tends to then write Sukkim over two or three times. So what we advise him to do is Matat to the Hono. He should write like Rashi has a diagram, right? Get a little line that no one wants to move, which is the top. We should keep with that Le'en Kol Yisrael is on the bottom of the column. When Rav said, one is writing the Sefer Torah, may end the Chumash in the middle of the column, it means the first book in Moshe Mavi says it too. So comes out according to the conclusion of the Gemara here, comes out that Rav is not wrong. Comes out that Rav is not contradicted by the Bible. So it's very strange. The Gemara said originally that Rav said two demons regarding the Sefer Torah, and they're both contradicted. Now get over here. Amar Yosef, Tani Tzadik, Amar Rab Yisroel, Rab said two things regarding Tzivah and Sefer Torah. The Tani is the Yusuf. When you have a Brisa that contradicts both of the laws that Rab said. So the first one was really the Yusuf, there's no way to answer. The second one we didn't answer. The first is just right away. What do you mean the Tani is the Yusuf? That we have that Tirshah, we have that the Yusuf means other threats, it's wrong. What do you mean Tani is the Yusuf? It's more imperfect, it's more explained that Rab is not contradicted by the So he says, regarding one of the demons that Rav said, the second case is in the bottom, and that's called second day. The comment, Bechadah, regarding the one of the two demons, laughs Yusuf the Marini. It's not really such a stark to Yusuf. Yusuf means that it's obviously so he's dead wrong. It's not dead wrong. Hello, but the more meant to say is that the dosh is Mitzahar said. With great difficulty we can enter the Kasher. It really doesn't fit in well in the words of Rav when he says HaKos of Sefer Torah Bo Ligmor. That he's writing, he's completing Bereishis, or Shmos, or Yikra, Bamidbar, of a big Sefer Torah. That he may finish that finish of the Sefer Torah in the middle of the column. That's what we interpret the Rav meant. Even though the literal meaning of Rav seems to indicate that he means he's finishing the entire Sefer Torah, there any place. That's not crazy. So I want to point out that the Tosis is really a space that puts one into the Gemara's end here. It's a very good answer. Rav means that you're finishing each one of the first four Kamashis, and they finish in the middle of the Talah, and you're right to that says you have to finish at the end. It's sitting out there in the first four. What's so difficult? Why did it do this? That's not what you're doing. So the Beis HaRavim explains as follows. He says it differently. He quotes a Tosafot in Baravasi. He says, the Gemara here seems, just by reading this Gemara, you don't see what the Tiyuk is. The Gemara says, it's a bright against Rav. So the bright that's quoted here, seems like a contradiction. Rav, then the Gemara gets out of it. They say that Rav didn't really contradict the Brisa. But he says there's another Brisa in Bava Basra that contradicts Rav. The Brisa says in Bava Basra, on that beginning of the day, that when you write an entire Sefer Torah, which has all five Chamisha Chamisha Torah, the Reish Shmosh, the Yitzvah, and the Dvorim, it is improper to take a Sefer Torah and cut it up into sections. At least you're going to have a Sefer Torah with the Reish Shmosh in the middle of a column. Which most starts right away. So of course, no person is like mine. Then stop cutting the leaf. So what are we going to do with the bottom? He's going to take another piece of parchment and sew it onto the bottom of the column to finish off the ashes. And he's going to take another piece of empty parchment and sew it onto the top of the column of Shmos. and then make a margin in the front of Shmos and a margin in the end of Brazil, no one is right going to do that. But if you're going to have a Sefer Torah with Bereshit, it's going to end on the bottom of their column, and Shmos is going to end on the bottom, so there is already a chashash that if it may become necessary, somebody will be in need of a Bereshit alone, or Shmos alone, and to go every time to take the whole Sefer Torah, let's say the learning of a Tanan machine. And this Rebbe wants to have a Chumash Shmos that has all the dinim of Bava Tam, that has Parashas Mishpat. He doesn't want to carry all the time the whole Sefer Torah. So he'll take the Sefer Torah and cut out separately Shmos. You can't cut out just Parashas Mishpat, because you're not allowed to write only sections of the Sefer. You have to have a Sefer Shor. So he'll schneid up, he'll cut off the ratio separately, he'll roll that up as a separate Sefer, and he'll cut off the rest separately, and he'll just have Shmos as a separate Sefer. So to prevent anyone from doing this, the Gemara says that the Sofrim describes when they write, and we recommend to them, I don't know, they're not at him, but it's highly recommended that they should never finish the first fourth form, the Eshe Shemesh Ligva Midra, in the middle of the column, so that this would prevent anybody later from cutting this forum into, we recommend that you should never end at the bottom of the column, in order to prevent people later from cutting this forum apart. So if you always end in the middle of the column, this is devout, this is the way to prevent people later. So Rav use the lashon over here. Gomer afilu b'emtza adam. The Sefer who's about to complete something, we don't know exactly what Rav is speaking of completing. Is he speaking of completing the Reish Shmos Vitzvah Midbar, or is he even speaking of completing the any Kodesh of the entire Sefer? Whatever it is, Rav says the Sefer has the option. If he wants to, he can end on the bottom of the column. If he wants to, he may end in the middle of the column. Gomer afilu b'emtza adam. At first he thought that Rav was speaking about the very end of the whole Sefer Torah, the Yeni Kol Yisrael. But he knows that the last time you're dictated by this Bryce. So the Bryce says, the Bodo Ligmar is about to complete the entire Sefer Torah. You must stand at the bottom of the column to show that the Sefer is Sholem, that there's nothing missing. If you end in the middle, somebody may get the mistaken impression that there's something missing from the Sefer Torah. That's why there's a half a column empty. So the Bryce says, no, you must have the Yeni Kol Yisrael should be on the bottom of the column. So we have a contradiction to Rav. So the more reinterprets Rav is referring to the first four commotion of the Sefer Torah. So now it would appear, as far as Akimar is concerned, Rav didn't contradict any Drice. The Beis HaLevi says that he contradicted the Drice and the Rabashi. So it says that the first four throwing, the Eish HaSuv HaMidbar, we recommend that you should not end at the bottom of the page, you should deduct end in the middle of the page, in order to prevent people later from cutting the throwing apart. And Rav didn't say that. Rav said, Gomer, Afilu b'yem sahadam. If you want to, you may end on the bottom of the column. If you want to, you may end in the middle. It's optional. So when the Gemara says Tami Tiyusim, means we have either this Bryce is against Rav or the other Bryce in Baladash. That's what the Beis HaLevi suggests. But then the Beis HaLevi points out that the Sofrim in his time, Beis HaLevi was a Yosef Beis HaLevi celebration. He was the Reverend Bruce. That was the father of a time celebration. So he writes that he noticed that the Sofrim in his days were not medactic about this. So when they wrote Sefer Torah, they never cared to feature that the Reish Shmos, the Ikub HaMidbar, should end up in the middle of the column, and many times they would end on the bottom of the page. They weren't medactic. So he says, "Hey, this is against the Gemara." Then he gives the Hoshpik of Torah why he thinks that we don't have to end up in the Gemara. He says, well, he thinks that the Sofrim are right, that you don't have to be medactic because it's not quoted in the Eridei, and he says, why not? I can have to make a Gemara and a basis and a medactic at the Gemara. He has a whole twist why he thinks that we don't have to end up. Right, as a prevention, as a preventative measure, It's not really a, it's not true, so the Torah is not possible, and it's not an Easter, the Gemara recommends that the circus shouldn't do it. We highly recommend that you shouldn't do it. So maybe says that that's what the Gemara meant over here. The Tanya to Yuske, there is a bright that comes to this Rav. If you understand Rav Chipshita, this bright is against Rav. If you reinterpret Rav, that is referring to the first promotion of the Sefer Torah, and the Bryce and the Bas is against that. But whichever way it is a Bryce against that. But, so what does the Gemara say so far? That Rav doesn't contradict this Bryce. That Rav also agrees when the Sefer is about to complete the entire Sefer Torah. And he writes, the Eleni Kori Sof, the last line in Kumis Varim, he must write that on the bottom of the tongue. He may not end in the middle of the tongue, so we'll look at which the Sefer Torah is. He writes the Gemara, but that cannot be true. We have another statement for Rav. But Amr Abi said, you know, Amy, it's not correct. The interpretation that we just gave in Rav is not correct. So Amr Abi Shur Bar Abba, Amr Abi Yidin, Amr Rav, the Talmidim of Rav said in his name, Le'eni Kol Yisrael, the Emsa Habas, Le'eni Kol Yisrael, the last words in the Chumash, the last words in the Sefer Torah, A band called off even in the middle of the column. You see that Rob really meant what he said. He's not referring to the Rashi school of Amidbar. He's referring to the volume when he completes the entire Sefer Torah and they end in the middle of the column. And to the Gemara, no, that was a misquotation. That Rabbi Yeshua quoted the name of Abdul, the name of Rav, that was said over the wall. Avi, that statement was the Emsa Hashita Yitna. What Rav said was, Rav agreed with this right that the Emsa should be on the bottom line. The other question is, on the bottom line, at the left column of the Sefer Torah, how is it further, Charlotte? Where should you write Leonard Torah? Should you see to it that it ends at the end of the column? Or is it okay if you have it in the middle? It doesn't matter whether it's in the middle or the end, there's that in the middle. Three possibilities. So the Gemara says, that's what Rav meant to say. Hahi, the Emsa Hashita Isma. What Rav meant to say was, when you complete the Sefer Torah, it's same to you not to end up to the very left, stop on the left line of the left column, it's better to end in the middle of the line, not on the bottom of the column, but in the middle of the line. That's how the Gemara gets out of it. The Gemara says that that's our look at. And he says the Torah should end on the bottom of the column, and as far as whether the middle of the column or the end, Rav claims, middle of the line or the end of the line, Rav claims the middle of the line. Now, within Rav, the Gemara has two versions exactly. What did he mean? Did he mean that it's optional? We may end in the middle, we may end at the end? The end of the line? But it means that's in the middle of the first sentence. And that is not a course. Rabbananami, the Talmidim, and Rabbi Yeshiva interpreted, and Yeshiva and Bubba interpreted, after the Emsa Hashita. Rabashi was one of the Rosh Hashivas in Bubba. He had a big Yeshiva. So Rabashi had a Machlaki, he said, he's Talmidim. So Rabbananami, the Rabashi. The Gemara says, Rabbananami means the Talmidim and Rabashi's Yeshiva, who were less solid than Rabashi interpreted, after the Emsa Hashita. But when Rab says, the end for Israel must be written on the left, on the bottom of the column, and you end in the middle, but he meant for it's optional, either in the middle or the end. You have a very end, whichever way. And Ravashi disagreed. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi disagreed with the Talmudim, and he said, no, the end for Hashito, that's good. And Rav said, you should end on the bottom of the column, in the middle. He didn't mean even in the middle, or Koshken at the end. He meant that's in the middle of the century. What is the Pesach Halacha regarding this Machlok is Ravashi and Talmidim? The Gemara says in Pesach Halacha Ravashi, the Hilchos of the Emsa Hashita that what's the Pesach, what's the Machlok? That regarding Bereishis Yuba Midbar, Rav says that you can even complete it after the Emsa Hadash, either in the middle or on the bottom. But there's a din that in between Bereishis, this is talking to the Gemara and Bava Dasa, that is in between Bereishis and Shmos. Many things show that you can tell on not these four blank lines, four spaces, empty, in order to demonstrate that it's a separate space. If you finish the space on the bottom of the column, the Gemara recommends that you shouldn't do it. If you finish on the bottom of the column, what do you do with the four lines? You leave the four lines on the top of the next column blank. That's the four lines to demonstrate that it's a new space. Let's say you left two columns blank on the bottom, two lines blank on the bottom of one column, there's two lines blank on the top of the next one. What do you do with four lines blank in between one space and the other? Now the Gemara of Baradasa recommends that we should never do what Rav says. We should never allow the Sefer to finish anything from Bereishis still by Midbar at the bottom of the column, because this may be later on to some wise guy who wants to cut off one Sefer from the other. That's why we don't recommend, we don't allow what Rav says. Now regarding the completion of the very end of the beginning for Israel, so the Bereishis says, and the Gemara says, Rav doesn't argue with the Bereishis. The Bereishis says that you must complete the beginning for Israel on the bottom of the column. How do you complete it if you don't have enough? The Sefer is holding by the end of the volume and he doesn't have enough words to write, so it says Nikat to the area. That's why she has the volume. Now when he gets to the bottom of that column, does he have to go down with a literal line or is it optional? That's enough breakers. And then it comes to the Pesach Halacha, Hilchos, the Emsa Hashita, that he should have to end in the middle of the sheet. Rashi on this Gemara has a new interpretation. The way I just presented now is a Pesach Shem. That's what Sheik and Kibetis point out. They don't understand Sheik and Kibetis and Oz Tess. Says they don't understand what's bothering Rashi. Rashi has a unique shot here. Rashi says when the Gemara has the two versions of Rashi against the Rabbanim, Rashi has an argument with the Talmidim and the Yeshiva. What's Pesach and Rav? That the Rav meant that you should end the end of yourself. That's in the middle of the left line, or even in the middle. That's the Pesach Shem. So when he used the word even, what is it, even in the middle? Even at the end of the line, or in the middle of the line? So Rashi says, no. Ah, the Emsa Hashita means, who the Emsa Hada? That's what Rashi says. Ah means they both knew Rav Ashi and the Talmudim of Rav Ashi both understood Rav the same way, that the Eni Kol Yisrael should be in the middle of the line, should be to the end of the line. But the Machlokes Rabbonim against Rav Ashi, whether Dafki the Emta Shita or Afki Emta Shita was, does Rav only mean the Emta Shita of that on the bottom of the column, or did he mean both? In the middle of the column, back to that again. The middle of the column is on something. The way we learn Parshat Shad, that's where he finished. That's to be the end of the column, and Rav doesn't argue with the Bryce, and he's not ready to start the end of the new Shilin. Whether Dafki in the middle of the line, or even the end of the line. Rashi doesn't say like that. Rashi says, get back to the original Shilin again. They both agree, Rabban and Rav Ashi both agree that Pshat and Rav is that you might finish the Eni Kol Yisrael in the middle of the line because it's fancy. You should enter the end. You should not enter the end of the line. They just argue that after the Emsa Shita and also the Emsa Hadak, that the terrace that he gave before on Rav at the Dreiser is not correct. And Rav really thinks you should end in the middle of the column in the middle of the line. Oh no, the Emsa Hashita Dafti, what the Emsa Hadak? And the Ben Sadaf is in the middle of the column. Of the Daf in that way. The difficulty is though that that was a Dreiser before, the touch of the Oreid, and the Gemara never says that they're referring to the Beth, and now they're referring to Rav. Rav didn't say anything about the touch of the Oreid. That's where the Pashup Shat and Rashi, the posthumous and the Pashup Shat.
That there's no
unit
between
the
right
and the bottom line has to be left.
The bottom
of the time. The same child left the bottom of the other one. Then the top of the other one. Right? So that's all right. But the last word, then you know you can have a plan for starting that. That's possible. And then the more comes to the conclusion that it does not have to be one thing. And it doesn't have to be doctrine in the shape of an upside-down pyramid. It could be, but the person assumed that they saw lazy, another person assumed that Rashi learns at this point that he might be reverting back to what we said before, that a Rav really argues with the Dreis or not. But before we said, no, he doesn't disagree, he also doesn't have to be the bottom of the time. And now we're reawakening that issue, that's the machlokes between Rav Ashi and the Talmidim, and the Rabban de Rav Ashi. But the more comes to the conclusion, here's what the Emsaha, the Emsa Shita Dafke, and the Rashi learns, and not the Emsa Hadak. So the Malkana comes out the same as we learned before, that the last Chumash, Dvorin, must end, the Eni Kol Yisrael must be on the bottom of the column, and Dafke the Emsa Shita. That's the Gemara.
The Republican Assembly,
probably not. Pashup Shad again.
Why
is the Pashup on the end? It's difficult, you'll have to learn more Gemara here. The Gemara in Shabbos says you're not allowed to be in the Shana. It's very strange. All the Dinim of writing Sefer Torah are not found here. As much as we have here, there's still a little bit in Bava Dasi, that's the Gimel, maybe they tell every quote, a little bit in Masechah Shabbos, and that's the Gimel about Kozi's always scattered about. So in Masechah Shabbos, the Gemara says that you must write the Sefer Torah the proper way that it's supposed to be written. Whatever is a Shira, supposed to be written like a shir. Whatever is not a shir, everything is supposed to be written the way the tradition has. So the entire thing is supposed to be written like this, I think it would be possible. But in the end, since we require a doctor that it should end on the bottom of the column, the Kanz is a special halakha that there we allow. This is a business like this. Since the Gemara has quoted statements of Rabbi Shua Bar Abba and M. Rav Gidon and M. Rav Rav regarding writing the Sefer Torah, that's the same information as what came before. So now the Gemara quotes another din that Rabbi Shua Bar Abba said in M. Rav Gidon and M. Rav Rav, which is not really relevant to writing the Sefer Torah, it's not really too relevant, it's a completely different halakha. They quote from M. Rav Rav another din. Shemana Tzitim Shabbat Torah, the last eight Tzitim in the Chumash start off, the eight Tzitim in the end start off, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, the stars that Moshe Rabbeinu died. So the Gemara raises the problem, the Gemara is going to raise the problem later. Who wrote those eight Tzitzim in the Torah? Did Moshe Rabbeinu write? He wrote up his own obituary. I died and I was buried. He wrote all that? Well, no, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote up until there, and then it must have been written by somebody else, by Yeshua. The Gemara has a machlokes hatana. So this is what the Gemara speaks about, the Shmonek Tzitzim of the Torah, the list, eight Tzitzim in the Chumash that begin with the passage by Yom HaShem, Moshe Abed HaShem, which describes Moshe Abed HaShem, and what happened after he died. Some of the Chumash, some of the Shonim HaChumash comment that when the Gemara is going to discuss here, the Shmoneh of Sittin Shabbat Torah, it's loved up to the very last eighth Sittin of the Chumash, which the eighth Pasuk from the end begins, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem, means that entire section, that whole parsha. Not the chapter, the chapters as we have them in the Tanakh, were divided by the bishops. It's not a real from the Gemara. But that whole parsha started from the last truth of the last sin that starts Vayal Moshe, and Meshkin goes up to the top of Hanavon and goes back to God. So even the Moshe explained up to the last eight sukkins, or to the entire parsha of the last eight sukkins. The Rav is quoted as saying the last eight sukkins of the Torah have a special thing regarding Kriyat HaTorah. Yochid Korei Yosam, the Beis HaKnes, when he learned Kriyat HaTorah in Shul, he learned it on Simchat Torah. He learned parshas in Zeis HaBroch. When you learn the Zeis HaBroch in Shul, there is a separate din of Kriyat HaTorah regarding the last eight sukkins or the last parsha in which these eight sukkins are found. Hayam Moshe HaMoshe. What is the special din? That Yochid Korei Yosam, unlike the rest of the Sefer Torah, here we require after a Yochid Shidim. What does it mean, a Yochid? So the Rishonim have regarding this Gemara four shots. The first shot and the simplest shot is Rashi. Rashi says that when you give an Aliyah in Shul, whenever a person gets an Aliyah, so every Aliyah must have a minimum of three sukkahs. You cannot give an Aliyah less than three sukkahs. But what's the maximum? No maximum. You get as many sukkahs as you want. Where do you stop? Where do you stop regarding the sukkahs? You can stop whatever you want. The Gemara has a doing that. They don't allow you to stop two sukkim within three sukkim before a sukkim, sumo within three sukkim, after a sukkim, as you do. But each one of them you can stop wherever you want. Sometimes, the Gemara says, however, that you're not permitted to break off 13 parshiyos in the Torah and you're limited to a parashiyos. For example, the Gemara has in the end of Rosh Hashanah that parshiyos hazinu must be read in a specific way. The same way the Levim used to learn hazinu in the Beis HaMikdash, when they dress the Kavanah in the Beis HaMikdash, and they poured the wine on them. If they asked, the Gemara says, the Levine needs to sing Shira. Ain't on them Shira El Alayyan. The Levine would only say the Shira when the Kohanim would be pouring the wine on them. So the Mishnayis lists off exactly which Shir Shalyom did the Levine say every day. On Sunday they said, Ashir Shalyom had left Mindish, they said one Shira. On Monday they said. On Shabbos, the Mishnah says that they said, Nidhi Shira Yom Hashem. The Gemara says that was only at the time that they poured the wine that belonged to the Talmud Sher Shachar. What shiur did they sing at the time that they poured the wine that belonged to the Musafir? A separate shiur. The Gemara says that unlike all of the shiurs that the Levim sang all year long, that they all came from Tehillim, Shiur David HaDavid and Halacha Shabbat, the Tehillim was always used for the shiur alayim. The one exception to the rule was Shabbos to Musa, and instead of saying the shiur from Tehillim, they read Hazinu. And they divided shiur Hazinu into six parts. And every week for 6 weeks, they would read one section. Then on the seventh week, they would start back again to the beginning of Hazinu. Every week they would read Hazinu, and the next week, sorry, no, sorry, next week, they would read, and so on. And the seventh week, they would go back again to the beginning of Hazinu. So the Gemara says that just, the Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, that just like Hazinu was broken up into specific portions, it's a poem. It has to be broken up properly, that you shouldn't ruin the meaning of the poem. But just like Hazinu was broken up by the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash in a specific fashion, that one week we said the first section, next week the next section, and so on, all the six sections. Until after 6 weeks, there was time the seventh week, and it would be Chalila to start again in the beginning of Hazinu. And so too, when we lay in Kriyat HaTorah in Shul, although all you learn, you can make as many Hesophis as you want. Except if the Gaboy makes a Tachana, not to make it, that's to make it, isn't it? But basically, in the Dina the Gemara, you can make as many Hesophis as you want. There's many people who say you have to have a minimum of 7 Aliyahs on Shabbos, and every Aliyah has to be a minimum of 3 Sukkim. You can make as you want 25 Aliyahs. People may walk out of Shul and have a minimum by the time that they pass. But the Nika Adin, strictly speaking, can make as many Hesophis as you want. However, when it comes to Hazinu, the Gemara says one is not permitted to build up Hazinu in any fashion other than the way the Levine broke it up in the Beis HaMikdash. What kind of a halacha is that? So the Magen Avraham has in Shulchan Aruch, in the name of Koskin, they say it's not only Hazinu, it's Av Yoshi also. The Gabriel cannot decide to make a herself in the middle of Av Yoshi. Or in Shira Tabe'er, also they cannot break up the Shira Tabe'er because the Shira must be read as a Shira. How do you read as a Shira? So Av Yoshi should be read all together. Shira Tabe'er, the people should be read together. And Hazina should only be broken up into these six sections. If you break it up into more than six sections, you ruin the poetry of the Shira. You ruin the Shira. What is the gist of the whole halacha? So the din basically is that Kriya Chaser should be Kriya. You must learn Kriya Chaser the way it's written in the Sefer Torah. That's why the Gemara has a din in Gittin, in Bab Sama, that the Balkor is not permitted to read a half a Kofi. Every question that the Megillah, that you get on Rosh Chodesh. Where you have a problem, how do you divide the Aliyah? So we have a whole complicated way. We learn over a Kofi. And the whole problem comes about because the Balkor is not permitted to stop in the middle of a Kofi. If you would allow the Balkor to stop in the middle of a Kofi, the problem would be solved. Why is the Balkor not permitted to read, let's say, 2.5 Sukkim? Because the Gemara says, called Sukkim, the Lefaskim, Moshe, and non-Lefaskim. Any pocket that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't break up, we at the time that we learned Kriyas HaTorah, are also not permitted to break up. Why? Because the Kriyas HaTorah must be Kiftovot. The same way it was written by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, that's the way the Balkorah has to learn. So the Sukkim are written as Sukkim. Moshe Rabbeinu was dictated by the result of the Sukkim, so the Balkorah has to read them as Sukkim. And the Shira Tazina was dictated as a Shira to Moshe Rabbeinu, so we have to learn it as a Shira. And the proper way to read the Shira Tazina, where the Chachamim had the tradition, is the point of the way the Levian broke it up in the Beis HaMikdash into six sections. And those Yashas should be read all together. If you're going to break it up, it will be considered Shalot Yechzorah. So similarly, the Gemara has a din over here, that's how Rashi learns. Regarding the last eight Sukkim of the Sefer Torah, you cannot break them up. You cannot make a Hosofa there. Many Hosofas that the Torah wants to make, the Gaboyim want to make, and Sinfa Torah, but they cannot break up the last eight Sukkim, or according to some Rishonim, the last Parsha which contains the last eight Sukkim, stands in Hayah Moshe. You cannot break up the last section in the Torah. Why? Because that is a separate unit. And if you break that up into two Aliyahs, one person will get the first half of the Aliyah, and somebody else will get the second half of the Aliyah. This will be a violation of the din that the Torah must be Kiftovot. You must learn the Sefer Torah the way you are given. And the Shemun and Sifra Shabbat Torah were meant to be one unit and not to be broken up. That's how Rashi learns the unit. Then the Gemara is going to get into a discussion. Who says that this is so? How do we know that the last eight Sukkim in the Sefer Torah constitute a separate unit and therefore they must be read together and they may not be broken up, and if you break it up, it's a violation of Kriya Kiftovot. The Gemara will continue. But this is how Rashi says it. The Gemara says, Yochi Kori Yassar, it means one Ole, one person should get the entire Aliyah, and you should, if the Rabbi shouldn't allow any Hosofos of that kind. The Rambam has a different shot in the Gemara. The Rambam has a shot, Yochi Kori Yassar means you can lay it in your feet. So usually Kriyas HaTorah is considered the Davish of Kedusha, like Kaddish, like Kedusha, like Barfu, and you need a minion. When you learn Kriyas HaTorah, the Mishnah says in the beginning, you need a minion because it's the Davish of Kedusha. With respect to the last section in the Torah, it's no longer considered the Davish of Kedusha, and Yochid Torah also. Everybody's out making Kiddush on Kim Chaser, everybody got an Aliyah, and the last guy getting Aliyah, the Chalkin Torah is getting his Aliyah, there's nobody there in Shul. Unless everybody's in Shul, nobody's paying attention. Is that the same thing? And no one's paying attention means that they're not referring to the Kriyas HaTorah. Everybody's talking, singing, joking, whatever. No one's paying attention to the Kriyas HaTorah. To begin with, normally you have to have 10 people paying attention. You have to have, if Alkohol is one and the one who gets the Aliyah is two and the Gabbai is three, you have to have another 7 people. The din is a fact that says in the Magen Avraham, if the one who gets an Aliyah has to say, Alkohol is Hashem and Torah, loud enough, if you should have 9 people able to answer. And you have to answer, you should say, well, the brothers, not just brothers, say, everything should be loud enough. You should not force the whisper out of Aliyah. The Kriyas HaTorah has to be a Davish of the Kedusha. You have to have the minion participate. You have to say loud enough that they should answer. You have to talk of the 9 people answering. So the Rambam claims that that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara is clearly saying that the last section of the Torah that describes the death of Moshe Rabbeinu has a different din. Yochid Kori Yochid. The question is, what does it mean, Yochid? So the Rambam says, you can lay it to Yechidus and there's no need for the minion. The Raivid asks on the Rambam, what do you mean there's no need for a minion? The Hasidah Lehech and Hoche, where'd they go? How did they start Kriyas HaTorah? Didn't they have a minion in the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah? So where did they disappear toward the end? And so the Rambam means to learn that they started Kriyas HaTorah with a minion, and then when they came to the end, they all looked bad, whatever, they're making students and raising, and there's no minion paying attention to the end. So what did the Raivid find so difficult that the Rambam had Hasidah Lehech and Hoche, what's with that passion? They walked out, what's the passion? And he looked out. Then visualize. If you start with Kriyas HaTorah, that this minion walks out in the middle, cannot continue Kriyas HaTorah. When it comes to the last Aliyah and the Sefer Torah, the Shemoneh Sidon Shabbat Torah, that's not considered a Davish of the Busha, and there we allow Kriyas HaTorah with less than a minion. What's the right of difficulty that he couldn't visualize? So the person explains what's bothering their library. The problem in the library is the following. We have a din. It happens sometimes. We have a din, let's say, the Chazon starts Chazorot HaShach. We have to have a minion. And in the middle of Chazorot HaShach, part of the minion walks down. So the question is, may the Chazon continue with the Chazorot HaShach, so that we have to stop where he is in a minute. If he no longer has 9 people on the instrument, amen. If he drops it, then we have to stop him. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes the din from the Yerushalmi, and the Rambam quotes the din also. Same place, he doesn't say it at all. The Rambam quotes the Yerushalmi, which is later quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that whenever you have a Zohar Shul Yedusha, which requires a minyan, namely through a Tatorah, or Chazor HaTashat, and if I can forgive the Shemona Esrei, these kind of things, if you're Tzilu Ba'asorah, if you start with a minyan, even though part of the minyan left, later on you may continue. Of course, the Ran says in the Gilead, there's one condition that says Chazor HaTashat, and 9 people walked out, but only the Chazon Yedir left hand. 8 people walked out, only the Chazon and his brother, and his son. But then he says you can't finish, you have to adopt to the Rov Minyan. That's what the Ran has, but you have to have Rov Minyan. If you have a Chazon with another 5 people, if you have 6 people, a Rov Tzibur, so you say Ruvah Tzikula. Of course, you cannot start a Chazor HaTashat, you cannot start Kriyas HaTashat. Ruva Tikula, because if you don't have the whole thing there, you can't say Ruva Tikula. But if you started off with the whole minyan, so you have the whole people. And then later on in the middle of the Chazorot HaShach, in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, the meals of the people disappeared and you're left with a robe, so then I can say Ruva Tikula, it's considered as if I still have a people. So I allow, and he may say Kaddish at the end. Yeah, he says the Kaddish at the end. In fact, in the Shulchan Aruch, it even says the following Kiddush, which is very, very difficult, but that's what it says. That if the people walked out in the middle of Chazorot HaShach, Chazon may even say two Kaddishim, the Kaddish after Safnun, and the Kaddish after Uvalasim. That's very difficult, but if you maybe ask that question, why did he say two Kaddishim? The Kaddish is Kabbal, and means our prayer should be answered, the Kabbal flows on. So if you don't have a minion anymore, you're just allowed to finish what you started, so one should have said that the Chazon should omit the Kaddish after Safnun, the Shalom said the Kaddish is Kabbalah, so that today it points out that it's a difficult thing, but that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So you say both Kaddish, it happens sometimes. Yes? Yeah. That's the way it says. No. The Kaddish, as you say, Yester Aleinu, that's already a separate unit. That's the Kaddish Yester Aleinu. So you have to have 10 people, the Shalom will say Aleinu. And the Kaddish Yester Yom, or the Kaddish Yester Mizmorim, that's already separate. That's what the Kivegas Kashi, once you say one Kaddish, right. So we ought to say, so the Kivegas Kashi, you ought to say Kaddish and Skabbalah, and omit the Kaddish in the middle. So it says in Shulchan Aruch not so. It says you say both Kaddish, it's a difficult thing, isn't it? Then you need it to flow. I don't know. You need it to flow? No, you finish your Shemona Esrei, then you say Tachman. Right, that's the Kasha. So how does he continue to say a second Kaddish? But it doesn't show up. That's the Kasha. But the din is that he says both Kaddish. That's the seven Shemona. And Moshe Feinstein has a shiva also, he tries to explain it, but he doesn't really get to it. That's how long it is. You say the both Kaddish. Both the Kaddish after the Tachanon, and the Kaddish after the Volatim. So the reason being that whenever you have a double shiva kedusha which requires a minyan, and you start off with a minyan, and in the middle of the, let's say, Kriyas HaTorah, the part of the minyan walks away, as long as you have a rose, the Ram says, as long as you have rose minyan left later on, you may continue with the Kriyas HaTorah, you may continue with the Chazorot HaShach. So perhaps that's what the Rabbi is asking, that people are half and half. The Rabbi couldn't visualize that the people walked out in the middle. What's so difficult? Maybe the Rabbi meant to ask the following question. Why does the Rambam say, Rambam learns in the Gemara, that this is a special din that only applies to the last 8 Sukkim of the Sefer Torah that Yochid Koryo song. The Saradavi should be Grishin, you don't need a minyan. But in the beginning of the Kriya Sefer, you can't just get up and learn one Aliyah. You can't get up and learn the last Aliyah. The Shemana Pesukim means that they started Kriya Sefer, and the people walked away in the middle. So the Rambam says, if they walked away in the middle of the Kriyas HaTorah, you may not learn early Aliyah. But if they walked away before the last Aliyah, before the last Shemona Pesukim, then you may continue to finish the Kriyas HaTorah. But that's the pshat, and the Rabbi asks, what do you mean? There's always, maybe that's the pshat in the Rav's Kasha. Whenever you started off the Kriyas HaTorah with a minyan, even though you no longer have the minyan, you may continue to finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah. That's the Dinish of HaTorah. You may continue to finish the whole Kriyas HaTorah. I don't remember the Din. I'm not sure. You have to look it up in Mishnah. Yeah, I think the Din is as long as for the first breath. I think until the end of the first breath. If there is a minyan, then you may continue. But I'm not sure. So the Rav asks Tana Ramban, what does he mean with two big walks away? What kind of a din is that? Does he mean to say that you started with a minyan and then part of the minyan left in the middle? You say, that's not only a din in the last aliyah, that's a din in any aliyah. Unless the Rama means to say as follows, that in the rest of the aliyah, the Rama doesn't say there's din there. The Ram said, he mentioned before, the Ram says in the din, that this halacha is the three of our Torah. You started with a minyan, you may continue to finish, even though there's no longer a minyan. If you don't have rov minyan left, then you say we get kusuma. So perhaps that is the chiluk. And when it comes to the last time, you know, you don't even have six people paying attention. Let's put it on the moment. Yochid, all by himself. Yochid is all by himself. He doesn't even have another five people with him to constitute the rov kusuma. It's a little difficult because the Rama never quoted that dream that the Ram said. The Ram said on his own, he thinks it means rov kusuma. And the Shulchan Aruch, we pass like that. And as part of the minyan walks out, there's only just six people left, we say we get the truth. But the Rambam never says that. The Rambam himself, even in the middle of Chazon HaShat, if all nine people walk out, and the Chazon is all by himself, he may finish. That's the Pasha from the Rambam. But the writer is asking the Pasha, what is the finish of the last Aliyah? If it didn't any Aliyah like that. Unless perhaps the Rambam needs to say the following. The Mishkan is going to The Yankiv is by one of the Talmudim of Chaim Balozhin, Yankiv HaTalim. Mishnah Yankiv has a tshuva where he raises the following topic. Halacha l'maaseh, Shaila halacha l'maaseh. In the times of the Mishnah, when they had Kriyas HaTorah, the Gemara says in the Gila that the Kohen would say the Baruch Hashem Lefonah, Baruch Hashem Amor, Hashem Amor, Hashem Amor, Hashem Amor, Hashem Amor, and then they would give all the Aliyah. And the one who gets the last Aliyah would say that Hashem Aleph 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 Aleph. In the days of Rav Shmuel, this is Rav who's speaking over here. I'm Rav Gidla Mera. In the days of Rav Shmuel, the Gemara says in Megillah that they changed the Takana Takana. They wrote it. And they made a Takana, they said that everyone who gets an Aliyah should say the Baruch Hashem Aleph 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 and the Baruch Hashem Aleph Aleph. And that's our practice here. The withdrawal comments, and now regarding this Shinui, that Rav Shmuel made, there's a big machlekes between the Ritzvah and the Ram. What was the nature of the change? So the Ram is of the opinion, the Ram says in the Gila, that it wasn't really a major change. It was a minor change. That the Takana always was like that. That really, Mishu Rabbi and everybody who gets an Aliyah in Shul, the first to recite the Bracha Shel Lefaneha and the Bracha Shel Acher. We have seven Aliyahs on Shabbat, five Aliyahs on Yom Tov, six Aliyahs on Yom Kippur. And every always really supposed to recite the Bracha before the Bracha Yisrael. With Man HaMishneh, the Kohen would say the first bracha, and everybody would be in shul, they wouldn't be walking in and walking out, and everybody would have a mind that in case I get an aliyah, Levi, Shlishi, Levi, Hamishi, whatever, Shishi, I have a mind to be able to the bracha that the Kohen would say. Then the Kohen would finish and sit down, and everybody else would sit down, and the one who would get the last, and no one would be walking out of the shul, everybody would still be there, and the one who would get the last aliyah would say the bracha shel acher, and all the people who got the previous six aliyahs would have a mind if they want to be able to give Baruch Hashem after all the other things. That's what the Rambam told you. But this was originally the Takana of Hashem Tessah with all of them, everybody should say their own Baruch Hashem, but instead of having so many Baruch Hashem, one person says the Baruch Hashem and all the rest are Yotzei, the recurrent Baruch Hashem of Hashem. And the one who gets the last Aliyah says the Baruch Hashem of Hashem, and all the six people who got the Aliyah before him have a mind to be Yotzei with his breath. That's how they run. And later in the days of Rav Shmuel, the Gemara says, why did they change the Takana? And they required every person to recite his own Baruch Hashem Lefaneh. And his own Baruch Hashem Lefaneh. So the Gemara says, Takana, and say how much noise and say Hayotzi. And people were walking in and out of shul. And what do you mean? The Kohen is going to rely on the Baruch Hashem Lefaneh that the last Eilah is going to say. He may walk out of shul before the last Eilah gets up. And what do you mean? The one who gets Shlishi will be able to be the Kohen's Baruch Hashem Lefaneh. And the last one, Baruch Hashem Lefaneh. What if he came in the middle and he's going to leave in the middle? So it comes out that he didn't hear any Baruch Hashem Lefaneh, no Baruch Hashem Lefaneh. The Gemara says, "Don't say how much noise in the Hayotim because people were marching in and marching out of shul in the middle of Lenin." So they made a takana that every Ole should recite his own Baruch Hashem. He shouldn't rely on listening to the Baruch Hashem from the Baruch Hashem Lefaneh from the Kohen and the Baruch Hashem Lefaneh from the Lefaneh. That's how the Ram says. The Nidva and Megillah, however, has a different shot. The Nidva says in Megillah that the way you mentioned, that there's Man HaMishneh, there was one Tachana, and Rav Shmuel made a completely different Tachana. They made a Shinui Gomer, they completely changed the Tachana. The Tachana Tachana was that there was a fellow that treated like one unit. He reached out there, let's say, three Aliyahs and a Rishtay, and four Aliyahs and Shalomot and Ashtadish, and five Aliyahs and Yom, and six Aliyahs and Kip, and seven Aliyahs and Shabbos. That's still the entire Kriyah from the beginning to the end is treated as one unit, and as such, you only need one bracha at the beginning and one bracha at the end. Like Sukkot in it, so you only have a Sham at the beginning and each time at the end. Or like Hala, so you have a bracha at the beginning of Hala, and one bracha you have a look at the end of Hala. When it came the days of Rav Shmuel, they changed the whole Takana. What reason? You know there's some kind of reason that it's not in my way. But whatever the reason is, they changed the Takana, and they instituted that each Aliyah should be treated as a separate unit. And as such, because each Aliyah is considered as a separate unit, we require each Oleh to recite a separate Bracha Shel Hashanah and a separate Bracha Shel Hashanah. Now, considering this opinion of the Rizvo, if the Rizvo is right, that after the Takana of Rav Shmuel, we no longer consider, we no longer treat the entire Kriyas HaFer from the beginning to the end as one unit. So we consider each Aliyah as a separate unit of Kriya, and therefore each Aliyah requires a separate Bracha Shel Hashanah and a separate Bracha Shel Hashanah. So the Mishnah Tzantik now raises this shayla. This old din that the Yerushalmi says, that the Rambam says, this halacha, that if you had a minyan at the beginning of the Kriyas HaTorah, and then in the middle of the laning, part of the minyan walks out, you only have 7 or 8 people now. Let's say the way you talk, we have 8 people. You have only 7 or 8 people left in shul. So the Shulchan Aruch spoke the din, in the name of the Rambam, in the name of the Yerushalmi, you may finish till the end of that unit. The Haini can finish, let's say, on a Monday or Thursday night, can finish till the end of the Kriyas HaTorah, and say the Kaddish after the Kriyas HaTorah. That's considered the end of that unit. So this din, if you finish till the end of the unit, so the Mishnah Tzadik wants to know, although it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and in the Rambam, he argues and says, maybe it's not correct. Maybe this was an ancient din that only applied to Zman HaTanoim. When the entire Kriyas HaTorah from the beginning to the end was treated as one unit. The Haraya that it was treated as one unit. That there was only a Bracha Shel Hashanah before the entire Kriya, and a Bracha Shel Hashanah at the end of the entire Kriya HaTorah. So if it's one unit, then Yerushalmi says, well, it's incomplete till the end of the unit. But the Zman Rav Shmuel that they changed the Takana, apparently he doesn't point out Machlokes the Rambam as well, but he's assuming like the Rizvah, that it was a major change. Next time, like the Rambam says, that they always used to be able to someone else's Bracha, and now they have to be able to their own Bracha. In other words, the Rizvah said that it was a major change that Rav Shmuel instituted a new Takana. We should treat every Aliyah as a separate unit of Kriyas HaTorah, and that's why each Aliyah needs a separate bracha. So the Mishnah Mishyankit is Mishukit, whether the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are right by quoting this Medina. Maybe the Maharaj's din shouldn't apply, because let's say the Kohen gets the first Aliyah, and in the middle of the Kohen's Aliyah, a lot of people walk out, you only have 9 people left in Shul. Maybe the din is you finish to the end of the unit, you finish to the end of his Aliyah. So maybe the next, our next Aliyah, the next unit, after the Takana Rav Shmuel, the lady is ready the next unit. So if one would have learned like that, if one would have learned like the Mishnah Tzantik, then we could have learned the Rambam Pshat in the Gemara as such. This is Rav speaking. And Rav is the one in the days of Rav Shmuel, the Gemara says Megillah, Rav Shmuel were the ones who changed the Takana. They were the ones who made it, that every Aliyah is considered a separate unit. And if the Minyan walks out, you only have, let's say, 9 people left, Rav Shmuel would have passed him if they would say like the Mishnah Tzantik said. They would say that the only sin is that Aliyah, and no more. So now what Rav says, when it comes to the last Aliyah in the entire Sefer Torah, because the Shemim Sukkah Shabbatah had a different status, it's not considered the Bavishah Big Dusha, we don't even need a minyan in Iker Adin. Ayachat Torios, and there's no need for a minyan at all. That could have been a good shot in the Gemara. The story is that the Rambam doesn't say like that. The Rambam doesn't write like the Mishnah says that the Zman has ever been changed. The Rambam is the one who says that you don't need a minyan for the last Aliyah. And the Rambam asks, where did the minyan go? So we suggest that maybe the difficulty in the Rambam is, what do you mean, even if there was a minyan in the beginning and they walked out in the middle, you may finish the Kriyas HaTorah, that's what the Rambam writes. If the Rambam would have heard like the Mishkanei Tzantik, that the Zman Hazeh, if the Rav Shmuel Takana, every Aliyah is treated as a separate unit, so then the Rambam would have learned like this. Anyway, in the middle of the Zeis HaBracha, the minyan walks out in the middle of the Kohen's Aliyah, the Balkoi should only finish till the end of that Aliyah, and that's it. The Kohen says the Bracha Shel Hashanah, and they don't continue. If the Minyan walks out in the middle of the Levi's Aliyah, they finish that. If the Minyan walks out after all the Aliyahs, and you only have left the Shemoneh, the last 8 Sukkim, That's in their lane, even the Yotzer. That would have been a good shot in the Rambam, but the Rambam doesn't write like the Mishkan of Gerizim. He doesn't say that if the Rav Shmuel changed the Takana, we no longer apply that din, that if it was a linear, the beginning of the Surah HaTorah, that we no longer allow you to finish. The Rambam is not going to be in the and finish to the end of the whole Surah HaTorah. So that's what the Rav Shmuel asks. What are you saying over here, that there's a special din of the Shmuel and Shmuel and Shmuel and Shmuel? And if he means to say that regarding the rest of the Surah of the Isaac Bracha, you require that a red speaker should be there. Like the Ram says in the Gila, like he tells from the Shulchan Aruch. Regarding the Shmonim Sinti Shabbat, they don't even need a red speaker to remain. He never said that though. The Ramah never qualified the din like the Ram said. The Ram is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. But the Ramah never said it. The Ramah just quotes the Gemara's dinim. The Rishami says that the minute you walked out, you can continue to learn the SFA. He doesn't have this provision only if you have the red speaker left. So that's the right of Kasha with the Ramah. What happened over here? What do you mean? There's no meaning at all. He's going to start with the last aliyah only. So he's just writing the last aliyah. The Pashuk chapter, he started with the last aliyah with a minyan. So what do I care if part of the minyan walked out? You can continue the whole for you. So the Rambam, we don't fully understand what he's talking about. But he learns the Gemara is saying that the last eight sukkim in the Chumash, the laning of the last eight sukkim does not constitute an ownership of Yusha. Therefore, there's no need for a minyan. The details of the din we don't fully understand, but the din we understand. That's the second shot. Rashi says, Yochid Koliyos in the special din here is you may not make any hafzokah, but if you make a hafzokah in the middle of the 8th sukkim, it's a violation of 3 ashalot hafzokah. So the late 8th sukkim constitute one unit together, they're different from the rest of the Sefer Torah. The late 8th sukkim are like the sections in Hazinu, they're like Shiva Sayyam, that you have to lay the doctor together. If you break it up in the middle, it's considered a violation of 3 ashalot hafzokah. That's how Rashi learns. The Rambam learns Yochid Koliyos means that it doesn't constitute a verse of the Dusha, and there's no need to, we don't require a minyan for the last section of the, for the last eight sukkim. Why it's called Beis HaKnesset if nobody's there? No, it means... Yeah. What do you have to do in Shulchan? Yeah. A good question. It means that... No, I don't think... No. I see the half and whole too. No, but that one probably learns what it means. 3 as a third. The Beis HaKnesset means 3 as a third. You shouldn't think that we allow a person to learn it by himself individually. That's not a Kiddush. So the Beis HaKnesset is not to say a bracha. That's not a Kiddush. But I'm going to say, no, the Beis HaKnesset means to say a bracha like you do 3 as a third in Shul. But it's not in Shul, but there's nobody else there. He's there by himself. That's the machlokes, the Ram and the Ritva. The Ram says he had to have heard the Kohen say in the beginning, and if he wasn't there, he walked in the middle, the Ram would say he would have to say his own breath.
You see, he's like
No, the first one is not supposed to, if the Kohen stands to walk out before the last hole that saves the bracha, Shinas on Lama, then the Kohen is supposed to say, don't bracha according to the Ram, according to the Ram. Right, according to the Ram. According to the Ritva, not so, because the entire Kohen is a Torah, the Baratam is treated as one unit, and the whole Kohen is a Torah only requires one bracha before and one bracha at the end. And even if you happen to be walking out in the middle, you get a later aliyah, you walk in the middle, you're still, according to the Ritva, you're still living to recite your own bracha before and after your aliyah. It would look funny that people will come in, let's say people will come in the middle of the Ritva, a lot of people will miss the bracha shalachana, a lot of people will leave in the middle of the Ritva, they'll miss the bracha shalachana. The Rav Shmuel changed the takana, they said that even if people are only there for part of the Kriya, they should hop around a whole unit of Kriya to get a whole bracha, to get bracha shalachana after. Yeah. There's no bracha shel hafarah. There's no bracha shel hafarah. So these are two pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara says that the last eight sukkim in Dvarim, the last eight sukkim in the Sefer Torah, have a separate din regarding Kriya, namely that Yochid Koriya, okay? The Rashi learns pshat, there are four pshat in the Mishnah. Rashi learns pshat, Yochid Koriya, you're not allowed to be mopped in the middle, you have to have one person read the entire aliyah. Otherwise, it's a violation of Kriya, so let's get started. The Rambam says it doesn't need a minion. It's not considered the Bavish of the Kriya, it doesn't need a minion. Very strange.
Where do you
get out of the
Kriya? From
the Yonah? Yes. I don't know what the minion is mentioned. How many years do I think I saw it? I thought you saw it. It doesn't only learn the last day's Kriya. That would be one sheet of Rishon. It doesn't only learn from the beginning of the Parsha, which contains the last eight sheets of Yahal Moshe. He learned from the beginning of Yom Kippur. I don't know what that really means. The case is here has the third shot in the Gemara. Yochet Kori Yosem, Rabbeinu Meshulam, then shot is following. Rabbeinu Meshulam, Hayom Mefarish. And normally when a person goes up to get an Aliyah, what is our practice? They pull me up for an Aliyah. So the Balk, I don't know the truck, so the Balkori lanes out loud so that everybody will hear. And the thing is, I have to lane along with the Balkori because the Balkori is mostly everybody else, but he's not mostly me. I have to lane the Pechak staff. The Rosh says, I swear that if the Balkori, if the one who gets the Ali doesn't lane, it could be that it's a block of that thing. So Mikaradim, we don't talk like that. Let's say, can a blind person get an Ali? One person cannot lane it up. So the Shekhanah quotes from the Aflonim that Mikaradim will allow a swimmer, a blind person, to get an Aliyah, even though he cannot lay in a law. I did also say you have to lay in a law. So we said that's the Chumrah. The Chumrah you have to lay in a law. But Mikaradim will even say, let's say, I'm Haaretz. A person cannot, not an Amor, but he can't read the Tanya Kudim. He doesn't know what it is, he can't read the Tanya Kudim. So that we allow such a person to get an Aliyah, if he cannot read from the Sefer itself, and Sefer itself. So, Lechatzila, we should try to avoid it, but if a person is a swimmer, a person is an Amor, and you have no glory, so we allow. The Mishnah Berurah says that on Shabbat Parshas Zohar, on Shabbat Parshas Torah, you shouldn't allow. Because then the Inside says that there is really a Dingo Raisa, and the Rosh is so strict about this, he says that the Ola must learn the law, so maybe then we should be back to allow such a person to get the Ali who's really able to read the law. But the Dingo is... The way you deal with the problem of straight Torah, I understand, is that the Dingo is that the Balkori has to learn out loud so that everybody will hear. And the one who gets the Ali should learn softly. How soft should he lay? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Achron and Lech, I say, the proper thing is he should lay so softly, he shouldn't even be Mashmir or Yazma. He should lay so softly that even he himself shouldn't be able to, he's just in such a low whisper that no one should hear. And then the Ramah says that the Yazma, if he does want to lay so softly, he wants to be Mashmir or Yazma, it's also okay, provided that he doesn't lay so loud that other people can hear, because if he don't, he's going to have two people competing. They don't see it that way. That's one problem with the Sefer Balkori. That's one major problem. But the major halachic problem is what the Gemara says in the Gemara, that Shei Kol Olay Nishtamu. That as far as the people are concerned, they're going to hear two people laying. They'll hear the Balkori is laying, and the Ola is laying also out loud. They'll hear two people laying. The Gemara says they won't be able to concentrate on either Kriya. They won't hear all the words neither from the Balkori nor from the Ola. No, nobody will be able to hear that thing. There's a shaila, do we allow a blind person to get an aliyah? The pashtus is most poskim assume that the hariyat mitzvah is not really a din that he has. It's not like tishma that a new person cannot see, cannot be able to tishma. Because we say here a lot to be the devil. If it looks inside, it's no good. But by Kedushin, we assume most persons assume like this, that the Hariyat Mekadesh is not really essential for the Kedushin. If they send that wedding invitation, and the Chosin Kala march down the aisle, and they're dressed up in the tuxedo and the gown, and everybody knows who they are, then you don't even need the Hariyat Mekadesh. They're sitting in Moscow, right, and it's clear, it's a boy and a girl out on a date, and they didn't get engaged, yet they give them a ring, the shtiko, and he doesn't say Hariyat Mekadesh. So then the Mishnah says that it's not a good Kedushin, because who said that it means Kedushin? Maybe it means a present, maybe it means an engagement here, maybe it means not even engaging, not even holding that engagement, it's not on my phone. So if everybody knows what it is, what the Gemara calls, the Mishnah calls, are suking the Yosef Indian, they're holding by that Indian, they sent that invitation, because everybody knows that they're the person, that's the person of the Kala. So the Pashto says that you don't even need any Amir Hariyat Mekadesh. That's the Pashto. Some person hold that Kedush Kedibur, even when you do need Amir, no, Shtari would mean that he writes it and he gives it to the Kala. Now, here he wants a different Kala. Let the Chosin write Hariyat Mekadesh and give over the ring to the Kala. Right. Yeah. give it to the Talib, and he wants to say, let him give a ring to the Talib. The Rambam writes, the minigir to be Mekadosh B'Kesher. Let's say this new person wants to be Mekadosh B'Kesher, he'll be Mekadosh B'Kesher. He wants to be heard to the opinion of those me with a post, and some person insists that you do need Amir by Kiddush. And you have to say, hurry up. It's not fun to demonstrate what you have in mind to make an umdir minukhaf, what your intention is. It's really a din that you need Amir. So even if you say you need Amir, some person will say that Kiddush is Kiddush. If I write hurry up Mr. Beshes, and I give over the Tabas, the writing is equivalent to saying, so you have your Amir, and you give the Kesef in the time of minute, and then the Kaddish the Kesef. But here's a different thing. Here the Rabbeinu Meshulam learns a third shot in the Gemara. You notice that Yachid Kori Yom Son, he learns the shot as follows. But although normally, when you have Kriyas HaTorah, the Bal Torah has to learn, and the Ola has to learn along softly, when it comes, the last 8 Sukkim, we don't allow that arrangement. We don't have the Bal Torah learn. The one who gets the Aliyah, the first interior, is supposed to learn for himself. That's how the Rabbeinu Meshulam learned Pshat in the Gemara. That in the days of Rav, they had this institution like we have today. This is how it works in the Gemara. They had already an institution of the Bal Torah, Laming, and everybody else. The one who gets the Aliyah, brings them and names along with them. So normally, the whole Torah is in the next day, took in all the Aliyahs and the whole Torah all year long. You have two people laming. The Bal Torah lames out loud, and the Ola lames softly for himself. And the last day, speaking Shabbat Torah, Yochid Torah as many one person is learning. How is that possible? The one who gets the Aliyah should do the Bal Torah. Shouldn't have the Bal Torah laying out loud and the Ola laying softly. We don't do that. Why don't we fasten up the Rabbeinu Meshulam? Because he says that the facts are not correct. The historical facts are not correct. In the time of the Talmud, that's not what happened. He didn't have any institution of the Bal Torah. Like you mentioned before, whoever got the Aliyah had to learn for himself. The Kohen had to learn his own Aliyah. And the lady had to learn his own Aliyah. And the Yisrael had to learn his own Aliyah. We didn't have such a thing as a Bal Kori who was laying to everybody, the person that got the Aliyah, merely said the bracha before the bracha after. The Tosafot says that the later Tachon, the Tosafot says the kosher of Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam, yes, from Rabbeinu Meshulam, how could that be pshat in the Gemara? At the time of the Talmud, they didn't have the Meha Chachomi.
Thank you.
son of business from the beginning, you didn't miss. You don't have to lose another job in this.
It's funny that the place is giving an example of what happened during the time of Ace Religious, where it made the Pashkana and then he said that the power to come to Kri Sakara is made afterwards.
Right.
But they would have made the same Sakana for the same reason.
Sadly, wasn't that the
We also blame much less. The laning was much shorter. He was doing it for years.
That's what everybody's to do.
running in that notice should feel fun and not getting yelled at. And then the target's calling himself a healthy man. So we have to let the nothing and not walk in by then a corner because of faces, but we cannot show another master. Hey, this was the first shot in the world. I mean, the auditory was gone. We shouldn't have the practice that we always had. Our current lane and the whole of it. Go along. The one with the concentrator should make it for himself. He should make it for himself. The back sheet is in your own consonant. You don't talk about little children because that means how to do it. You so that cannot be shot in the morning because in the time of the college, they didn't have such an institution of about college. They don't have such, they don't have such animals. So where's the Gabbiani? What's it all for? You know what I mean? They say, look here, you want to get the army half the left. That's what you know, you want to get the army half the left. You're not chucking the jail. The Lama started also, you don't get the jail. You don't do it. You need to 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 do it. You always took shots when you discussed that Rashi. Rashi said that you don't make anybody talk to you. And Korksha. Korksha is quoted in Shabbat Malach with Amor, quoted in the name of the Lord's guy. What shot on the mother, last member, Yoko story was known. But Yoko means Yoko on the Yuka. If the lady comes off, he should get the Ali. But I'm thinking that the Yoko, he should get something there. Make sure he really gets the Ali. Yoko has to do that. Well, I have to see if he comes off. He can do that. He can come off. But the Yoko is supposed to get the Ali. Tell me, you know, he's going to get it on the Ramoa, who goes to the name of the Lord's Tower. The Yoko story was to be the Yoko on the Yuka. The Lord's Tower is on the Pasha.
I don't know what I say. I don't know who's supposed to be. I don't know what's wrong with the person. Thank you.